Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the RightStream Radio Network, rejoicing in the flow of creativity. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at RightStream and hashtag RightStream. Thanks for listening to the RightStream Radio Network.
Everyone, welcome to Just Believe Radio on the RightStream Network. I am your host, Lisa Tarvis. I'm very happy to be here another week. Another couple of great guests on the show today that I'm looking forward to talking with. So, everybody, I hope you enjoy the show. I don't really have a whole lot to say today. Like, you know, normally I sit here and I talk about stuff. It's October, and it's very, very warm on the East Coast, weirdly warm for October on the East Coast, but it's beautiful, and apparently we're going to have fall hitting us tomorrow again, so we're going to enjoy this last day of summer weather, probably it'll be the last day for a while, I would guess, but you never know, you can always get an Indian summer anytime, so... I am Lisa Tarvis. I'm a metaphysician, board-certified holistic health practitioner, intuitive counselor, and an author of the book Just Believe, and of course, a radio show host. And every Sunday, the show airs at 1 p.m. Eastern, and every week we have great guests, experts in the fields of spirituality, holistic health, metaphysics, the paranormal, all those you know, interesting areas in the spirituality, metaphysics umbrella, under those umbrellas. If you're an expert in one of those fields and you want to be on the show, shoot me an email. If you know someone who might want to be on the show, have them shoot me an email. You can reach me by emailing Lisa at lisatarvis.com. That's LISATARVES. .com. So it's Lisa at lisatarvis.com. Anyone that has any questions for our guests today, you can call in at 347-945-7246. Again, that's 347-945-7246. And I do have chat room open. Anybody who wants to maybe ask a question through there, through in the chat room, if you don't want to go live, you can certainly do that as well. So I'm going to get to our first guest. His name is Ken Elliott, and Ken is an accomplished artist and writer living in Castle Rock, Colorado. And he's been collecting astonishing stories for over 25 years. He's been uniquely and convincingly shown how to manifest changes in his life and in those of others. And then he wrote a book about manifesting change. So I'm going to let him tell us about him himself. That makes sense, right? I think, if that was English. So I want to welcome Ken to the show. Hi, Ken. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks, Lisa, for having me on the show.
I'm so glad you could join us. I was actually on your website looking at your art today. I had looked once before, but I was looking for something specific about you, I think, about the show. So I didn't really have time to really look at the artwork. And it's amazing. It's really, how do you describe your art? I mean, how do you describe what you do?
It's contemporary landscape work, and I'm a colorist, so I'm using high-key color. So it's a little bit different. It's not portraits of places, and they're more interpretive. So, you know, people that are listening along, and this is not a plug, but if you want to have something to look at beside your computer, you can go to my art website at kenelliott.com, two L's, two T's, kenelliott.com. And since we're about the manifesting, you can go up to my manifesting website at manifesting123.com.
It's funny because I click on the pictures that you have on your website, and when I look at them, I mean, I know we're not really talking about the pictures today so much, but we're talking about your book. But, you know, one thing I wanted to say about your paintings is when I click on them, there's something, when you first see them from afar, you think, oh, that's interesting. But then you click on them so they get bigger, and you kind of get lost in them. You know, it's like you kind of, you know what I mean? You kind of like go into this, I just go into this zone. It's kind of cool. I mean, I just keep clicking away. I'm doing it actually right now. I'm still clicking. And everyone I click on, I'm like, wow. Very cool.
Well, thank you. A lot of people get different responses from it. Regular folks, not metaphysical folks, they get a series of responses, and people that are intuitive or gifted, they get another series of responses. And that's a whole other program. But
yeah,
I get
lost
in it too. I do pretty big work, you know, multi-foot paintings, so it's easier for me to get lost in with my little brushes as well.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah, I was just interested. I was on your other website before, but this one I really hadn't spent any time on, and I was like, I want to check out this art because it's just, you know, something I wanted to see. I love art, and I love the different interpretations that people have looking at the same piece. I think that's amazing. Mm-hmm. You know, what people can see, especially with something a little more abstract or a little, you know, I mean, everybody sees something different. So I was really, I was really fascinated by that, but I'll shut up about your art now. why don't you tell everyone about you?
All right. Well, my cover story, as I like to say, if I were on what we call straight radio with regular folks, my cover story is that I'm a full-time artist, and I do very well at that. I'm the real deal and selling all over the country, both with prints and paintings and, you know, the whole bit. But what I really do is, as I like to say, what I'm here to do. So right now I'm sitting down doing what I'm really here to do, and I'm passing on some information that was given to me. I've written a book. I've waited for somebody else to write this book, but no one ever had the same slate of experiences that I had. So it apparently fell to me to write the book, so I did. And I have no ego in this because everything I'm going to tell you today did not come from me. It came from outside of me. It was given to me by the best teachers, or it was a spontaneous idea. And it's very, very important information. And right off the bat, I want to say it doesn't matter if you believe what I'm going to tell you or not. Because your thoughts make things, and it doesn't matter if you believe it or not. Your thoughts will make things anyway. And from the very, very beginning, I want to give you an illustration that if you take a glass of water and hold it off the edge of the table and you let it go, gravity is going to take that glass of water to the ground. It will do it every time because that's what gravity does.
Right.
And it's been clearly, clearly demonstrated to me that thought is real. And it happens every time. And gravity doesn't care if you had a bad day. If you're a bank robber, gravity does what gravity does. And thought does the same things. It will take action every time. And it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't judge. It's simply a fundamental law.
Yeah, that's very true. And so how did you start really learning learning about manifesting? Your website is your other website, the one that doesn't have your art, is Manifesting 1-2, and that's also what your book is called. And and it's funny because it's Manifesting 1-2-3, and you don't need number 3. I think that's kind of cool.
Right.
But anyway,
right.
How did you learn about manifesting?
Well, I was a guy in Texas, just a regular guy. You know, we're worried about what we're going to eat and not a whole lot of other than basic things. I mean, I was kind of raised that way, just a southern guy. And I started having these extraordinary experiences. I started going out of body. I started having this thing and that thing. And I started remembering old dreams. And then I would find that some of those things were mentioned in the Edgar Casey material. Also, at the same time, I had an issue in my life that was really, I was drowning in it. Everybody's got issues, so what? and it was perfectly legal, but it was killing me. And I had to do something. So I still could remember, I said a prayer. And I wasn't a guy about going to the top and asking God for things, but I said a prayer and said, "You've got to fix this right now. I'm drowning in this, and I need help." And within 2 weeks, I had the number of someone who was incredibly gifted. I had been studying, for whatever reason, Marian apparitions, appearances of Mary throughout the centuries. So I'm not Catholic, but it was a fascinating topic to me. And so I called someone who had written a book about this. She was having visions from Mary. And I said, "You get around. You're in the lecture circuit. I like some of the people you lecture with. I've seen some of these names written from the books. I need the name of the most accurate psychic in the United States to help me with my problem," because I couldn't figure out what to do. And she said, "You call Judy Goodman." And Judy is a very gifted woman in Georgia. And I used to put people on the radio shows, and I would tell the host, like you, in the 2-minute pitch, "Judy Goodman's the most gifted person in the West."
Right.
So I had plugged into someone that had tremendous gifts, more than I'd ever heard of before. And she helped me with that problem, but I had apparently signed up for a lot more than I thought. Maybe it was my soul's purpose. Maybe I don't know what. But I started having more experiences and met more people in the metaphysical field, authors, and started putting them on the radio, yada, yada, yada. And someone had told me something about Judy that was profoundly different than anything I'd ever heard before. And it's the basis for this book. Another person I worked with was putting him on the radio at the same time. William Buhlman is the author of the best-selling books on out-of-body travel. Some of those are in seven languages. Out-of-body is a way to go to the other side.
Right.
Without having to be in a car crash to do it. So these two people told me the same thing. So somebody said, "If I send Judy something in thought, she will get it." I said, "What are you talking about?" She said, "Judy is so sensitive that you can send her something in thought and she will see it materialize, pure thought." I said, "You're kidding me." She said, "Give it a try." Well, as it turned out, a couple of days later, Judy had a birthday. So I called Judy up the day before and said, "I'm going to send you something in thought for your birthday. Is that okay?" She said, "Sure. What are you going to do?" I said, "Well, I don't know. I'm going to concentrate on it real hard and send it to you." She said, "Okay. You don't have to be a creative. You don't have to have a picture in front of you. You can just think of the thing, give it 2 or 3 seconds, and let it go." I said, "Well, I can do that." She said, "Yeah, anybody can do this." All right. And so she said, "And by the way, here's a tip," which was completely lost on me. She said, "You're going to think of the thing, so it's going to be a thought in your head. And because it's a gift, it's going to come out through your heart. I'm going to get it every time." I said, "Okay." Well, I completely forgot about the heart thing. I'm just going to get up in the morning, I'm going to cram this thing. So I did. And my thought was, I'm going to send her a yellow rose and a simple silver vase, little bud holder. And I took a couple seconds on it, and I let it go. And then I proceeded to concentrate on it really hard and cram it and jam it, and, you know, everything I could do to just make that thing happen. I didn't do it the simple way she had talked about. And I never thought about the heart. It was all concentration to me. I went to work. I was still cramming on it. I couldn't work. I was still working on that thing. I came home for lunch, and I called Judy up. I said, "Okay, did you get the thing that I sent?" She said, "Well, hang on. I'm looking at the computer. All right, let me look around the room." On the other side, and she didn't have to go into a state. She just simply just looked up in the computer. She said, "On the other side, there's a lot of people. They know it's my birthday. So they have sent me things in thought, gifts. The room is full of them. And there's people on this side that know it's my birthday. They have also sent me things in thought. And Ken, you and I go way, way back, and your thing is sitting right up front." Well, I didn't give a flip about what the sentimental thing was, reincarnation, all that. I just want to know what it was. She said, "Was it your intention to send me a rose?" Well, that was a Hollywood moment. I got choked up. I said, "Yes." She said, "Was it your intention to send me a yellow rose?" I said, "It was." She said, "Well, that's not what I got." I went, "What?" She said, "Look, someone saw your intention and embellished it and sent it on its way." And this is getting a little complicated for me. And I said, "What are you talking about? We had discussed thought, and the idea is that it's instantaneous. There's no speed of light constant. It just happens everywhere, anywhere." And she said, "That's correct." And I said, "Well, who could do that?" who could take my thought and hold it and embellish it. She said, nah, some big guy. I went, what? What do you mean big guy? She said, we call him JC. Now, this is not a holy roller program here. I said, you mean like big shot like JC, big guy? She said, yeah. You know, it just is what it is. And frankly, I was a little chagrined. I thought I'd been flying under the radar, and now I've got Mr. Big Guy, you know, in my business here. So so I was like, uh-oh, I didn't know if that was good news or bad news.
Right.
But, I said, I don't understand what's going on. She said, I had to intuit. I had to play 1-900 psychic to guess that that was a yellow rose. What I'm looking at is a rose that's been dipped all in gold, and it's so brilliant, it's glowing so bright, I can't tell you what color the rose was. So from time to time, I would send Judy things in thought. She got them every time. And sometimes they were embellished, sometimes they were not. That's an aside. But the bottom line was, I learned that thought is real. It's a law. And every time I sent Judy the thing as a little test, she got it.
Oh,
now,
wow.
I'm not the brightest. I know. Now, this is brand new. This is the basis for the book. And I'll say it again, I have no ego about this book. This was handed to me. This is not my information, but you haven't heard this before. So in manifesting or law of attraction, we make vision boards, we make wish lists. Yes, we pray. If you believe in God, go to the top.
Right.
But we do all of these things, and then we hope. Then we wait for result. And it drives us crazy.
Right.
You know, you want to know that when you put your key in the ignition of the car, that there's an engine in the car. Well, what I've just given you, what was handed to me, is that there is an engine in the car. And when you start to think of a thing, if it's a worry or if it's a positive thing, something begins to form up. Now, here's what happens. My friend William Buhlman knew this from out-of-body work. He told me this, and it didn't really stick with me. And Judy Goodman had told me this as well. When you begin to think of something, when you start to create a thought, they can see it form up on the other side.
Okay.
It starts up like a wisp of vapor, like smoke, and it congeals. It gets more and more 3D. It starts to take on a blush of color. And when it gets super solid and full color, it comes over into the physical world. It can be a red car. It can be a concept like happiness. You can make yourself sick with it. You can create a disease. Thought will make anything. And as I said in the book, this is a little harsh, but I'm sort of giving you overtop view. One day in 1939, Hitler got up and said, I'm going to invade Poland. And he did. And I'm going to extrapolate a little bit here, but I don't think I'm going out of field to say it was allowed, because 100,000 angels did not stop him at the border. It's the wild, wild west down here. And you can create marvelous things or you can create horrible things. And thought does not judge. And it is allowed. And this gift, this tool that we have been given, that we can co-create, we can take God's chemistry set, so to speak, and make anything with it, is an amazing gift. So the next time you decide you want to create something, be it a vision board or the techniques we'll talk about, you put a key in the ignition and you turn that car over, the engine starts, and my friends
right.
can see it. They can see it. This is brand new.
So that's what makes, I guess, manifesting 1-2-3 a little bit different than a lot of the law of attraction books. I mean, explain that. I know you've been doing that. That's kind of what you've been explaining, but I mean, what in this book, what in your book, Manifesting 1-2-3, what makes it different than all the other law of attraction books and the manifesting your desires and all that kind of stuff? Are you explaining it differently? I mean, what is it that makes it different?
Well, I'm going to upset at the apple cart a little bit. I love all the manifesting books. Don't get me wrong, because thought is intention and it's real. So I encourage anybody in any way they can to start thinking positively and watch their thoughts. I don't want you to be tripping up on every word you say, but edit yourself a little bit. Yeah, it's a lousy day, but I'll make the best of it. Well, it's another day, and I'm going to make the best of it. You don't have to call it lousy. You know what I mean? But the law of attraction is a side effect. I maintain that law of attraction is a side effect of a core thought.
Right.
I'll give you an example. There's a great example about gravity. Take a trampoline, put a bowling ball in the middle of the trampoline, and then you take a marble and roll it on the trampoline. Well, it'll go towards the bowling ball. It starts spinning in a circle, tighter circles, and it hits the bowling ball. Gravity is the attractor. That bowling ball is the thing that's making gravity in space-time. That's their illustration of gravity. So when you begin to make a thought, the thought is at the core of things being attracted to you. And it's much more simple. So when you have a thought, it begins to form something, and it starts to attract things. It'll start to attract coincidences. It'll start to attract change. It'll start to attract anything you can imagine. And on my website, and I put out a newsletter twice a week of people's stories. You know, it's hard for me to sell if you think that something's going to happen. I really can't do that. But other people's stories will. And I have whopper stories in the book and whopper stories on the website. And I put out 2 a week on the newsletter. You just go up to Manifesting123 and sign up. So what makes this book different? And I'm going to give you what people tell me. They said, and the testimonials are all over the web. They said, I've been doing this for 20 years. I've never seen it so simple. I've never heard it so elegantly stated. I got it. This is easy. It just works. I hear that over and over and over and over and over. And that makes me feel good. Not that, again, that I have an ego in this, but it's clicking. And it's simpler than what they've heard before. A lot of what happens in manifesting books is essentially we all get together over coffee or wine or whatever it is, and we compare stories and we try to figure out best practices. Well, if we do this or we do this, we do this, we tend to get a better result. And that's what a lot of these books are about. And that's absolutely true and good. But what's different about this book is when you think, it actually starts to form up things on the other side. And I've got a couple friends that can watch it happen. That's right. A little bit different. That's a lot more empowering. There is an engine in the car. And you can't say it any more simply than that. So, you know, I have a prayer life. Some people do, some people don't. I'm not a holy roller, but I realize that there is something going on. There is a connection. I'm going to use every advantage here, tool I've got. So I go right to the top. Now, I kind of think if I've got a father upstairs and he's pretty bright, he gets it the first time. Now, we're going to ask and ask 6 or 7, 20, 100 times, right? I'm pretty sure he gets it the first time. I'm not one of those people to tell you what God thinks, but I kind of think he's that bright. Now, instead of just praying and praying and praying, I now know that when I use my thought, it will start to form something. So I'm going to give him the green light. I'm going to say, this is what I'm going for, and yes, I'd like intervention on this, and you can just do this in an instant if you want. And lacking that, I'm going to go into these simple techniques, and I'm going to form that vapor into a solid, full-color 3D object that's going to come into my physical world.
Right.
So I'm going to do both. But the one that I know works every time is the manifesting techniques, because it has to happen.
Yeah, I like that. You're simplifying a process that I always tell clients when, you know, they're trying to do, you know, they're attracting things. And I always tell them, you know, it starts with the thought. You know, everybody overcomplicates it. They really kind of do. It doesn't have to.
Yes.
I'm always like, the thought of what you want, you know, picturing it as something you already have, you know, it raises your energy vibration. It kind of just brings the energy up, and that makes it such a powerful thought, you know, because you have more energy in it than a negative thought or a thought that's not really doing you any good. And I think that's what so much of this is about. We actually have a couple of people with questions waiting on the line. So I want to see, we're not doing readings or anything right now. So if anybody's looking for readings, we'll be doing that later on in the show. But if anybody that does have a question for Ken about manifesting 123, call 347-945-7246 and press 1, and you'll be in the queue. So I want to get to one, if you don't mind, Ken, somebody, a caller with a question from the 718 area code. Are you there?
Okay.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I did have a reading question, but I won't ask that. I do have a question for Ken. I guess a state of being as clear as possible with manifestation. I mean, I guess because I'm an empath and I pick up a lot of emotional energy from other people. So sometimes when I'm in meditation, it's like I see, I can pick up all those energies and I'm trying to clear them out before I create an intention for myself to manifest something. I wanted to know what you would recommend around releasing whatever energies are around me that are not mine when I'm creating when I'm trying to manifest something.
Well, before we get off the show, I'm going to give you those two techniques for that, for manifesting itself anyway. I'm not going to worry about that very much. I'm going to put it this way. When I'm in my... in the technique, and one of the techniques is I'm in my future. And in my future, ... is happening. So if there's traffic outside, I don't care in the present. If there's an airplane going overhead, I don't care. If the kids are making too much noise downstairs, I don't care. So you're being an empath and all this other stuff going on. It's not going to matter because where you're going is to your future. And we're going to get into that before the end of the show. So it's going to take care of that automatically. It's elegantly simple.
Okay, so the thought is to focus on the future.
Yes, that's right. That's right. And I'll get into that clearly later and put it all together for you. So you don't have to worry about what's going on in the present. And you can do this on a bus, a noisy airplane with a kid screaming in the back or something. Yeah, because where you're going, none of this present time, present noise is going to matter. It might interrupt your concentration, but it's not going to influence your thought, your creation. That's the good news.
It really makes you want to hang in there and figure out what he's got coming up for us, because this is, this is like, like what he's saying. It's so simplified, and I think that we look at this manifestation process as something that's so complicated, and it really isn't. Definitely hang in there and let's see what he's got to say later on and about his technique, and I think we'll all understand a little bit better.
Okay, thank you. May I stay on the line also for a reading? Because I know you said later.
Absolutely. I'll keep you on the line.
Thank you so much.
All right, you're welcome. All right, we've got another caller from the 229 area code. Hi, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Of course. What's your first name?
My name is Melvin.
Okay. And did you have a question for Ken?
Yes. I just wanted to know, lately I've been having some negative thoughts, and I've been trying to do some meditation about it doesn't serve me, it's not mine, try to give it back to the universe. And I just want to know, if I'm doing the right thing. Because these negative thoughts.
We're going to fix that, Melvin. When I go through the techniques, you're going to have the tools you need. And basically, it's going to come right back to this. We're going to teach you how to go to your future, and your future, you don't have that.
Right.
And your thoughts are going to create that. It can create an absence of that. That problem, it can create a little red car if you want.
Right.
But we're
going
to go to the future, and that does not that negative stuff does not exist where you're going to go in your manifestation. It feels magical, and it sounds like I'm selling soap and snake oil, but when you go to the Manifesting 123 website or grab that book, you're going to see stories that you can't believe. And I can't sell you something that's unbelievable. You just have to read it for yourself, but other people wrote in about.
Yes.
But you're going to address that, and you're going to have the tools for that by the end of by the top of the hour.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Just hang on.
So keep holding on.
Okay, I will. Thank you so much.
All right. No
thank
problem.
You, Melvin.
Keep listening. All right, Ken. you know, obviously the goal here is to get to how this happens, how we do this. But I have to say, so you know, like I'll have a vision board class every once in a while. I'll get a group of clients together, and they create mm-hmm. vision boards. Are we just wasting
Wonderful.
Our time? Is that just something
no.
we just don't need to do?
No. Every intention creates. And if you're focused on, let's say, that trip to Tahiti, and you put it on a vision board, that's a layer of intention. If you write Tahiti on a piece of paper and put a candle on it and burn that candle every day, that's another layer of intention. If you run around and say Tahiti, Tahiti, and you got a Tahiti gimme cap, you are putting out so many layers of intention on Tahiti, it starts to form up over there. The difference is people don't tell you you're forming something up. You're not just hoping or wishing. Every time you touch the intention Tahiti, it gets more and more solid over there, and it will come over. And we don't even know how it's going to happen. There's that phrase again, it doesn't matter how it happens. It doesn't matter
how it happens. We're supposed to have, you know, we're not supposed to have all the answers. We're not supposed to know how it happens, because it doesn't matter how it happens. The only thing that matters is that it happens, you know. That we get to our goal, I guess. In your book, you have a chapter about the rose and the duck. What is that about?
Well, I told you about the rose.
You told us the rose, right? You told us the rose
with
the psychic. Okay, what about this duck thing?
Well, it was about a year later. I had I'm not the brightest guy in the world, and I thought, hey, you know, I called Judy back up, and I want to go into the story if we're short on time, and I want to get into those techniques, but. I said, I want to send you something in real time. Will you stay on the phone while I do it? She said, sure. What are you going to do? I said, well, I'm going to think about it real hard, and I'm going to send it to you. Remember that thing about the heart? Forgot all about it. She said, okay, well, go for it, bucko. She called me a bucko, bucko. And so what I ended up sending her, what my intention to send her, was a 5-foot-tall Daffy Duck sitting in a chair in her office. He has a little slender stick and a flat board sign on top of the stick. And on top of that, written in red lipstick, it says love on it. So 5-foot-tall Daffy Duck with a handmade sign. And I went for 2 minutes and worked real hard on it and asked Judy what had happened. She said, you're just making smoke. Now, she was very intimidating when she said that, and it kind of scared me and made me feel like a failure. I had forgotten that I already knew that it would start to make smoke. And since I was so worried that I was a failure, I redoubled my efforts, never thinking that something was happening in the chair, and gave it another 4 minutes that I didn't think I had, because I was really, really concentrating hard. At the end of those 4 minutes, I said, I don't have anything left. What do you see? She said, are you trying to send me a cartoon character? And there's another lump in my throat. And I said, yeah, because this is a pretty complicated object now. And I said, yeah. She said, well, there's this poor little skinny-legged, skinny-arm human-y thing in the chair, 2.5 feet tall. He's got cartoon colors on him, so I figure he's a cartoon character, and he's got a stick in his hand. Now, in 6 minutes, from a distance of 2,200 miles, I'm starting to make a Daffy Duck. I made smoke, and then I made this Daffy Duck is starting to form up. He's not at full scale, and he's not in full detail, but it is happening. So what I'm begging you to try are these simple techniques, because something will happen, because it's the law. Thought is real. It's the law. So you want me to go into it, how we do it?
Yeah, you're making everyone just so anxious about it. We're like, all right, we need to know how to do this now. Come on, tell us how it's done.
All right, what we got? 10 minutes.
We've got probably 20 minutes. And we've already got more callers on the line. So go ahead and tell us your technique.
Well, I say it simple, so I'll keep it simple. Number one, you don't have to write this down, but you can if you want to. Number one, here's the genius, not my genius. This has been around for a while. Nothing new here, but people don't stress it enough, and not a lot of people talk about this. Number one, if thought is real, let's do the absolutely most powerful, most efficient thing we can do with thought. Let's go to the future and think up the thing in our future. Thought can do that. It can go to the future and make a thing. Now, here's what I want you to do. It's kind of like we're going to get a bus ticket and we're going to go to Chicago. We don't want to tell that bus to make 50 stops before we get to Chicago. At the end of this thing, when you get a bus ticket, you'll look up and you're in Chicago. It doesn't matter how you got to Chicago. If you want that new career, we don't want you to say, well, first I've got to get a better degree, I've got to get another wardrobe, I've got to drop 20 pounds, I've got to get that gray out of my hair, right? No, 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 no. You just, in your future, you have your new job. So here's how it works. You can sit down quietly and close your eyes. If you're in a jam, you can do this elsewhere. You don't have to get into a meditation. And okay. I'm going to underscore something very important. This is not a meditation because I flunk meditation. This is not how smart I am because I'm already said I'm not the brightest bulb. This is simply making a movie. Anybody can go to the movie. I just went to the movies the other day, and I didn't come out and say I flunked watching that movie. We never do that. Any three-year-old can watch a movie. And by the way, three-year-olds don't judge what they see. Oh, Spider-Man can't do that. Superman can't fly. You just go to the movie and let this flow over you. So we're going to go to the future, and this is your movie. And this is what I say. In my future, my most important thing is I have perfect health. I'm in my future, and I have perfect health. Now, here's the hard thing, and I am so grateful. Now, I might feel that down to my core. Since I do this every day, I don't really feel it very much. But I allow that statement to just have a little time like cream going into coffee. So I'm in my future, and I have perfect health, and I'm so grateful. Now, when you're doing this exercise, it's good if you can feel and touch and sense it. Now, I don't want to feel the absence. It's hard for me to feel the absence of a hospital or the absence of a disease. So I have this little trick. I'm in my future, and I'm on my couch. I'm in my couch in my future. And I touch that couch. I can feel my couch that's in my future. So I'm using a sense of touch. I can breathe the air in my future. And I observe that I'm in perfect health. I am so grateful. And then I have another scene. In my next scene, I'm also in my couch in the future. And I observe my second most important thing. I'm doing what I'm here to do. And I'm on the radio with you and your guests doing that right now. So I'm sitting on my couch in my future, and I'm doing what I'm here to do, and I'm so grateful. Now, I don't know what that is. And I don't know what the absence of health was in the other one. But I'm in the future. I can feel the couch. I can breathe the air. And I observe that I have been doing what I'm here to do. Didn't happen just yesterday. I'm not opening the Christmas box here. It's been happening for a while, and I'm so grateful. Well, here's another kicker. I had a thing in my future. I don't even do this anymore and call it a vacation. But in my future, I go into this room, hotel room, and I set down my bag, and I walk out to the balcony, and I hold that balcony rail, and I look out at the scene. Now, in my future, I don't want to know what that scene is because I would go to Paris every time. I'd like to change it up a little bit. So I look out and I see white. But this is what I say. I'm holding that rail. I'm breathing the air. And I say, I'm so grateful. My gosh, I just love this view, this mountain, this ocean, this sea, this river, this lake, this stream. And I'm so very grateful. And I don't have to worry about the time away. And I don't have to worry about the money. I don't have to worry about the money to get there. Within 6 weeks, I won't even tell the whole story, somebody that came over the house, a very gifted person, said, I never thought big enough because I have my perfect house. It's lovely. It's an amazing story. And she said, I never thought big enough. I'm going to do something for you. You don't know this, but I work for a major airline, and I'm going to put you on my buddy pass list. So now I can fly anywhere that worldwide airline goes for free on standby. Well, I have no business being on somebody's buddy pass list, but I have free airfare. You can't make this stuff up. So in my future, I have these different scenes. And in every scene, I feel it, touch it, breathe it. And I am so grateful. Sometimes I forget the grateful. I have to run back and go through those other scenes. Oh, I forgot. I'm grateful, da-da-da-da-da. And I catch up with myself. Now, I'm not very good at this, but I have spectacular results. Thought is real. I touch it once a day. If I tell people to do this twice a day, they'll do it 50 times a day, and they'll never get out of the house. You do it once a day. Now the law of attraction thing is going to kick in here because you're starting to form something up. It's starting to make mass, and it's going to start to attract things. It might attract a solution. It might attract that better job. It might attract that you get a break on the health. You might get a break on the money. You might get a break on this. You don't know how it's going to happen. And it often comes in the most unusual ways. A lot of these stories come in faster than all I tell people about. I'm not going to set up expectations. My things come in sometimes fast. Sometimes I've been 2 years and a couple of things that haven't happened yet. But I have seen things happen in the field where circumstances have gotten better in that direction. So it's kind of like I'm on the bus again, and these really interesting people keep getting on the bus, and this gets better and better and better. So my trend line has been going up. Yes, it has its ups and downs, but the overall trend line is very positive. So I know that it's formed up. And every once in a while, Judy will say, what about that idea you had? It's going back to smoke. You're not putting any time in that anymore. And she's right. I forgot. And it's going back into nothing. So I have to get back on it and recreate it. So that's it. Number one is you go to your future. And in your future, you have your, let's say, I don't like to use the word job. In my future, I have my perfect job. Now, you might be sitting on the couch saying, you're observing, you have your perfect job. I love my job. I love my career. I love getting up in the morning and doing that. Now, if you're on the couch, you don't know if you're working in an office or if you're in your working out of your house. You can also say, I'm in my future, and I don't have any concerns about money. My bills are paid in advance. I have multiple income streams, or I have all that I need. I'm so grateful. I always say I'm so grateful. The gratefulness is the turbocharger. That is the afterburner. That is the pedal to the metal. That is the shortcut to intention. When you're doing a vision board, you're not putting, if you put that I'm so grateful behind it, it will turbocharge that. It will, you know, magnify that vision board. But when you're in the future, that is a very, very big step. And it's very important for you to know that there is an engine in the car. It's an unbeatable combination. So that's number one. Oh, by the way, a pink elephant comes to the room. You fall asleep. It's okay. You don't get up, every morning to make pink elephants. It's never going to form up. Let it go. Let it stomp around. Let it go in and out of your memory. For Melvin, he goes to his future, and that does not exist. Do not take your poo-poo to the future. If you have some junk in your life, when you go to the future, it's not there. It doesn't matter how it's not there. It's impossible that it could go away, right? But in your future, it doesn't exist. And we've seen some very bad bosses go away, some really bad situations in relationships. Those things cleared up or they dissolved. You name it, it's happened. And they put it in their future, and it came true. So number two, fear is a thought. And it's very powerful because when we're doing the future thing, it's kind of like we're imagining we're in Disneyland, and maybe it's not as substantial, but if you have the rent due tomorrow, that's very, very real. And I would offer that a worry is stronger than your visualization in the future because you really buy it. You're walking around in this physical world with it. We can't afford to have something bad happen. We don't want our lovely future undone. So as simply as I can describe it, this is something that was given to me. It fell out of the sky. Typically, people in the manifesting books or in all the ways that we're trying to handle worry, it really comes down to try to find some way not to worry about it. Please, don't touch it. Don't think about it. Whatever. Give it to God. You name it. Well, I was given something that actually a way you can take action on it. That's what I call it. In this number two, the worry, if it's 3 o'clock in the morning and you have this worry, you're making something on the other side. You are creating a negative thing and it's starting to form up. You can't have that happen. So what I do, whatever time of day I get a worry, call comes in on the phone, uh-oh, there's a big worry, I'll reach for a note, I'll reach for my phone. And on my calendar, I'm going to take action on that worry. I'm going to make a calendar item out of that. So I have this pain somewhere on my arm, and as a guy, I'm going to let that just manifest and just get worse until my arm falls off, right? I'm not going to call the doc. I'm just going to worry about it. I don't want that to happen. I don't want to create that. more pain. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to make a calendar item. I'm going to call the doctor at 10 o'clock on Monday. And now I'm going to stop. I'm going to do my best to stop worrying about it because I'm doing everything I can do. I'm going to call the doctor on Monday because I don't know what this is. And by the way, I'm the only guy on my block that goes to the future, and I had perfect health. I don't have that pain in my arm. So I'm going to let it go as best I can. Now, it took me 4 to 6 weeks to get over this worry thing. And now, since I've seen so many miracles and get so many stories about this, if I have a worry, it's now a concern in my vocabulary. If I have a concern, I'm going to put it on the calendar. Good doggy, I'm going to take action on this. If I need money, I'm going to call the people that owe me money on Monday at 10. Or I'm going to look around for that better job. I'm going to open up those want ads, get on Craigslist. I'm going to take action on this worry. And then since I go to the future and this is taken care of, I'm going to let my power to create take care of that. And I'm going to throw a prayer upstairs too. I'm going to do three things on this thing, but I am refusing to worry. I'm going to make a calendar item out of it. And I'm going to let it go. That's hard to do. It took me some time. But again, if you have enough of this stuff happen, you'll finally say, you know, when I turn on the light switch, the light comes on. When I turn on the faucet, the water comes out. When I put a key in the car and turn the key over, the engine starts. And that's where I live now. So number three, and you don't need number three, I observe that when I'm doing this, I've never been so powerful. We have this thing, if we could be our higher selves, all that we are, we could walk on water. We could move mountains. I believe that's true, but I don't know how to be my higher self for even a millisecond. But I observe when I'm in my movie, I have never been so powerful. I make things happen. And so do my friends. We don't even understand how it could possibly come true. So it's kind of like you're going to go to your movie, and I'm standing in front, and I'm between you and the door to your movie theater, and you come up to me and say, okay, I want to do my movie now. I want to go to my movie theater. And I look you over, and I said, oh, yeah, you want to be your higher self? You're all powerful? Yeah, you're wearing all white. You've been drinking distilled water. You've been fasting. Oh, that's great. Yeah, you look pretty powerful. You got any impure thoughts? You can't go in. You're not perfect, right? You're not your higher self. You're just human. But I've learned that, as an analogy, it's kind of like I don't go through the front door of my movie. I go through the side door of that movie theater, and I sit down like a three-year-old. And I sit down, and I run my movie in the future, and I do it every time. And I don't have an intellect about, well, Superman can't fly and Spider-Man can't do that. I see impossible things in my movie, and then I just leave. I say I'm grateful, and I leave. And I go back to my day, and in my day, I run the calendar. And every once in a while on the calendar, there's one of those uh-oh things. Oh, I better look for that better job. I need to call some people that owe me money. I need to do this or that. I'm going to take action on something that would keep me up at night before. And that's it. That's all you do. You go to the future. You see your scenes. Use all the senses you can bring into it. You're in that future. Seal it, feel it, touch it, own it. And number two, if you have a worry, convert it to a concern. That worry is the thing that gets under your skin. And that is emotionally loaded with fear. And the two great powers in the universe, my English teacher said, don't use sweeping generalization, but here comes one. Two great things in the universe are love and fear. So you're grateful in your future scenes, and you do not embrace fear when you're working with your worries. You convert them to calendar items. Put it on your smartphone. Your smartphone does not care. It does not fear. Put it over there. Offload your worries and make it a calendar item. Number three, you've never been so powerful. Sorry.
How often do you go to the future? How often do you do this manifesting thing? Is it once a
day?
Is it 50 times a day?
Just once a day. Yeah,
okay.
I get a little routine. I try to do it in the morning. Sometimes I can't. Sometimes I have to do it quick. I'm not good at this.
A lot of people aren't good at the meditation thing, and this kind of is like a meditation because you're taking yourself someplace else. So.
Yeah.
How long are you able to do it for? I mean, some people I'm sure can do it for a long time, but somebody not good at meditation.
Well, I'm not good at it, so it can take me 20 or 40 minutes.
Okay.
People that are really good at it, they can do it in 10, 12. I have a lot of scenes in my movie, and my mind will wander. I'll fall asleep.
Right.
If you do this
right.
Laying down, you're trained to go to sleep. So I sit up in a chair and I do it, and I can do it very efficiently. Or not. I don't beat myself up about it because I get results. All I have to, I just touch it every day, and I know it forms up because my friends can see it. So it just forms up anyway. It doesn't matter if you're good or bad. And I don't call it a meditation because people flunk meditation. It's not an act of faith because people, they flunk faith, they flunk meditation, they flunk thinking they're worthy. It's a movie. It's a three-year-old going to your own personal movie, and that's it. That's it. And you don't have to be good at it to get results because you don't have to be good about dropping a glass off the edge of the table. It's going to fall to the ground. That's what gravity does. Thought does what thought does. You don't have to be good at thought. Thought will just do it anyway without judgment.
So do you keep having the same thoughts? You keep going to the same future until you've manifested that future? Or do you randomly see different futures?
Well, I tweak it up. I change my vacation thing to just, I'm just looking at a beautiful scene because it started happening around my area. I live south of Colorado, a lot of beautiful stuff here. So sometimes 10 minutes from the house, I'm having a European adventure.
Right.
So I stopped saying that I had to be in a vacation to have these wonderful vacation-like scenes. So I tweak my movie all the time. Now, some things happen. I take them out of the movie. My being in my perfect house was such a tremendous, miraculous act, so upside down impossible, that I still, in my movie every day, I say I'm in my perfect house and I'm so grateful. Many times a week, I hug the walls in my house because I still can't believe it happened. It would be like being cured of a disease. You know, you're so grateful that you're healthy. My God. It's that kind of thing.
That is like, I mean, it's interesting because it's so, simple. It's, you know, like I said, so many of the stuff that we read about the law of attraction and about manifesting, you know, our desires and all that kind of stuff, people overcomplicate it. And I've always said that, but I've never really had necessarily had the answer. But you've got basically the answer. You're going to your future and you're feeling gratitude while you're there. You're feeling happy that you have this, whatever it is that you want in your future. You know, the perfect relationship, the perfect home, the perfect car, the perfect job, whatever. You're feeling in your future, you have that, and you're spending time feeling what it feels like to have it, which is raising your energy vibration. It's raising your vibration. And then you're feeling grateful for having it.
I don't want to say it raises your vibration because people get tripped up on that. It doesn't matter if you raise your vibration or not. You can be a criminal and do this. It's not a matter of raising vibration. It's simply having the thought and letting it form up over there. And not letting it forms up anyway. So I don't want to label it that you have to do anything other than visualize it and use your senses, feel it, touch it. All those are layers of intention if you breathe the air.
What I'm thinking is the raising of your vibration would automatically come with the thought. You know, I think that's. I don't think you have to do it. I think it just would be automatic, wouldn't it?
Well,
it would just automatically happen.
Does a bad guy have a high vibration?
I think they can. I think anybody can raise their vibration.
Well, they can.
It doesn't mean it's a high vibration;
it's
just higher than their norm, maybe. You know.
Yeah. Well, invading another country, we could debate if that's a good thing or not, depending on circumstances, how you think about it. But so I don't want to limit it to that because that is a limit. Let's see, I've got to get my vibration up. I've got to be my higher self. I've got to wear all white. I've got to lose 20 pounds, and then I can have this thing? Nope. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. So I don't put any labels on it, except you just go in the movie, you're in your future, and use your senses. Let's say you want that car. Let's say you want that perfect man in your life. You, in the future, you sit down on your couch, and you reach over, and you pat him on the leg. Do not turn around and see who he looks like, what he looks like. There's 3.5 billion men on the planet, and don't specify what that person has to look at. You said perfect, that will be perfect. He thinks you're perfect. Maybe he's an idiot, but he thinks you're perfect, and you think he's perfect. And by the way, he's got warts, and so do you, but he loves your warts, and you love his warts. It just works. It just works. And that person will find you. And by the way, they're halfway there. They're trying to... praying, they're doing whatever they can do to find you anyway. So it's halfway done. And people will find these people. They start to bring men into their lives. I've got stories these women won't give me yet because they think it has to be a perfected story. But people started coming in their lives, and they're having a heck of a time. and they realize that life has gotten better. These may not be the perfect partners. Right now they seem like it, but if nothing else, they are a template for what's to come. And they are on the right bus, using that analogy again, and these wonderful people are getting on the bus. And they've been in 5 year, 6 year droughts where nothing was happening. And suddenly one of them called and complained about all the guys that are calling her. And I said, well, are you kidding me? You were in tears 2 months ago. I think something's working. We had a big laugh.
So basically, we're going to our, the future. We're feeling, breathing, touching, you know, using all our senses in the future to experience what we want. So we're experienced while we're doing this, not meditation, this manifesting, I guess it is. For however long we can, you know, it takes us to actually feel like we are there. And we're being grateful for what we have while we're there. Now, then we go about our day. And in our day, bad stuff happens sometimes. Like you said, we get an unexpected bill in the mail. And we're like, holy crap, how are we going to pay that? Or something happens. And at that point, instead of just worrying, and this drives me crazy that we do this because everybody does it, we just sit there and we worry about it, and it keeps us up at night. And then we worry about it the next day, then it keeps us up the next night. And nobody does anything about it. So what you're saying is you're physically making it, putting it on your calendar, I'm going to deal with this worry.
I'm going to make a phone call out of it. It'll be a person-to-person meeting. It'll be a phone call. I'll call a prayer circle. I'm going to do something. I'm going to take action on this thing. Absolutely. Now, if I put it off from Monday to Tuesday, fine. I'm not going to beat myself off of it. You know, the big thing was I offloaded it emotionally and put it on the calendar. And if I roll it over, fine. I just don't feel that emotion. That's the target. That's big. And, yeah, take action on it. You're not helpless.
Right.
Here's the good news, bad news. Mike Dooley is a great manifester, and Mike Dooley was talking about going to the future. He's a good guy to follow, too. And his brother Andy also does the same thing, and Andy, at the close of one of his workshops, he said this thing, and I never forgot it. I didn't like hearing it. I'm going to give Andy all the credit. He said, you now have the tools to take care of things. If there's not something going well in your – if there's something that's going bad in your life, it is all your fault now because you can fix this. You have the tools to fix this. And I didn't like Andy for saying that, but he was right. You now have what you need. And if you need to get out of that bad relationship, it will get out for you. In the book, there were two women who called me 2 days apart, and suddenly their husbands came to them and said they didn't want to be married anymore. And they weren't happy either. They had a plan, but it came in a lot quicker than they had thought. So you would think there's a lot of moving parts in that, but after 6 weeks, these two women got a phone call a day apart, and their husbands came to them and said, I don't want to be in this anymore. That's a big move. And they didn't feel empowered to do it except for a year or 2 years out. So amazing things can happen. And by the way, they both called me and said, well, we haven't been this happy since high school. It's like they're reading off the same script. So, you just roll with it. Just do it. Just do it and take action on those worries. Don't let those worries tangle you up, and don't try to limit this thing. That's why I'm so careful not to give it a name except the movie. You just go into the movie, and in your movie, you're in your future, and you're grateful. Any kid can go watch a movie, but it's hard for us to feel worthy and to raise our energies or do this thing or this thing or this thing. You want 100% of this technique. So you sit down in your movie, you'll get 100%, if you believe it or not, but you walk around your future. And then just go about your day. I can't make it any simpler.
No, it is. It's like I said. Sometimes you think it's so simple that we're missing something, but it's actually just that simple. It's really, really, you know, fascinating and so much easier than so many of the processes that are out there for manifesting, what we want and what we want in life and what we want our future to be. What I want you to do now, because we are wrapping it up here, I want you to tell everyone where they can find your, I think both websites, because like I said, I love your art too, and I love people to visit your website, that website as well. and then how they can get in touch with you if they want to, and how they can buy your book, of course.
Okay.
I'm assuming it's on Amazon and all of that.
Yes. So they, well, for the artwork, they can go to kenelliott.com, Elliott, E-L-L-I-O-T-T, kenelliott.com, or just Google up Ken Elliott. You'll find the website easy. And then for manifesting, it's manifesting123.com. And on the manifesting site, you'll find a way to buy my book. You can get my paperback book on Amazon or on my website. It's the same price. If you order on Amazon, I'm going to email you back and ask you how you want it signed, because they don't have a way to do that. I just got an order while we were here. And if you go to my website, you can order books. And if you order two, you get $2 off each book. If you order three, you get $3 off each book. So I'm the guy that's discounting better than Amazon here. So just go to the website and get the book. You can download it on all the e-readers from $9.99 to $8.99, depending where you go. You can get it from Amazon for $8.99. A lot of people do that. And I'll sign copies. You tell me how you want it signed, and you'll get a hand-signed copy from me. And pass them around. Spread it around. This is different. This is new. It's not Ken Elliott's idea. It was given to me. I'm very grateful. Had the best teachers at this. And I'm just passing on what was given to me. And it works like crazy. And I can't sell it. Just go up and look at the stories. And if you have a story, I so want your story. I send out two every week, first of the week, the last of the week, on my newsletters. And people get back to me and say, oh, my God. And I'm just using these stories to encourage other people to do this and improve their lives. That's what I'm here to do. And, wow, I'm the luckiest guy in the world.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. I really do. It's a completely new it's an old idea and a new way, an old concept, but a really new way of doing it, making it just so much simpler than what we have been taught previously. So I love it. I mean, it's almost like I said, it's almost too simple. But I'm gonna start doing it once the show's over. I'm gonna start doing it right away, because it's like, mm-hmm. I'm big on practicing, you know, the law of attraction, big on practicing all of that. But you know, for me, I overcomplicate it too, and I yell at other people for overcomplicating it. So imagine that. This makes it really simple. You know, this makes it really, really easy. So I want to encourage all the listeners, go visit www.manifesting123.com, buy Ken's book, read about it, check out his artwork on kenelliott.com too, because I, like I said, for me, I kind of get lost in it when I'm looking at the paintings, and I can't imagine having one. I may have to buy one of these days, because I can't imagine how, like, it would be like staring at a fish tank. I'd probably get obsessed, and I'd never leave the painting, because there's just so much, like, for me, I'm like creating a whole nother world in some of these pictures. They're just, I don't know. It's funny how, like I said, art touches different people differently, but definitely everybody check out both those websites.
Put it in your movie that in your future you have one.
There you go. There you go.
And you're so grateful. And I want to leave you with something, if I may.
Go ahead.
Let's go back to those original stories. I knew nothing. I had no technique. I was a pumpkinhead. I was a dip from Texas that all I cared about was where the next barbecue lunch was coming from. And I would send things to this incredibly gifted woman, and she would get them anyway. I had no skills, no talents, no concepts, and I'd send her stuff, and she got it every time. If I can do it, you can do it.
Well said. Well said. I really appreciate your being on the show. I am really I'm fascinated by this. I can't wait to read your book. I actually do have it, so I'm going to definitely be reading it. I started it, but, you know, of course, the show creeps up on me every week, and I've never, ever finished anybody's book by this time. I get there, but I like I said, everybody please check out Ken's work on manifesting123.com. And I hope you'll be back. You'll come back on the show one of these days.
Oh, please do. I would welcome that, and I'll have some stories for you. We can talk about that. And I'm doing workshops around the country. People call me and say we want to. Okay. Yep.
Yeah, that sounds great. That sounds great. All right. So we're going to be back in a couple of minutes. Thank you, Ken, again, for being on the show. I have Dr. Ram Weber and coming on next, and I will everybody hang in there. We're going to run a couple commercials, and then we'll be back. Thanks again, Ken.
You're so welcome. It's my honor. Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you.
I don't know how I can't do it.
Sunday afternoons at 1 o'clock Eastern, tune in to Rightstream Radio Network for Just Believe with author and metaphysician Lisa Tarvis. Lisa interviews experts in the areas of health and wellness, alternative healing, paranormal phenomena, intuitive guidance, and positive living. With her own inimitable down-to-earth style, Lisa makes both guests and callers welcome and appreciated. Just Believe with Lisa Tarvis, Sunday afternoons at 1 o'clock Eastern on the Rightstream Radio Network.
I'll never get used to these 10-mile runs. They are taking so much time out of my day.
Are you training for a marathon or something?
Diabetes runs in my family, and I heard if you lose lots of weight, you can prevent it. So I started running like crazy, and I cut my calories big time.
Oh, get real. You don't have to knock yourself out to prevent diabetes. My doctor said it's the small lifestyle changes you make that matter, because it's easier to stick to them.
Wow, really?
It worked for me. 6 months ago, I started walking a lot, and I stopped eating the fried stuff. I've lost 10 pounds. My doctor said I'm doing great.
I'll have to ask my doctor about this. I'd love to get my life back.
Talk to your healthcare provider. Losing a small amount of weight by being active 30 minutes 5 days a week and eating healthier can prevent type 2 diabetes. To get your free game plan for preventing type 2 diabetes, call 1-800-438-5383. This is a message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the National Diabetes Education Program.
Hi, this is Jennifer Coolidge. The American Heart Association says the disco song Stayin' Alive is the near-perfect beat for hands-only CPR. If you see a teen or adult collapse from cardiac arrest, you only need 2 steps to help save a life. Call 911 and push hard and fast in the center of the chest to the beat of the song Stayin' Alive. Disco is back and it's saving lives. To learn more, go to heart.org/hands-only-CPR.
Nationally supported by the WellPoint Foundation.
You're listening to the Rightstream Radio Network, rejoicing in the flow of creativity. Be sure to follow us on Twitter @Rightstream and #Rightstream. Thanks for listening to the Rightstream Radio Network.
Everyone, we are back. You are listening to Just Believe Radio. We just finished a great interview with Ken Elliott, author of Manifesting 1-2-3, and you don't need 3, by the way. So everybody, definitely check out that book. My second guest is Dr. Ram Weber, and I want to read her bio. Well, at least kind of read some of it because I'm going to let her tell her story as well. But Dr. Ram Weber is an international psychic medium, now in her 18th year of public work, following an original academic training as a sex therapist. In the metaphysical world, Dr. Ram is well known for her spot-on evidential mediumship, cultivated by her attention to detail and her passion for connecting loved ones. Warm, compassionate, and down-to-earth, Dr. Ram's mediumship was recently acclaimed by the New Jersey Herald as having stunning clarity and accuracy. Based in the New York metropolitan area, Dr. Ram has also appeared on television and radio shows and worked with clients from all over the world. She is trained in both American and British styles of mediumship. And I'm going to not waste any more time and just bring her on so she can tell us about herself. She will do, by the way, anybody who wants to call in and get a mini quick kind of psychic reading, she's happy to do that for people who want to call in. The call-in number is 347-945-7246. Again, that's 347-945-7246. And when you call in, press 1, and I'll see you in the queue, and I'll get to you as soon as we possibly can. But Dr. Ron Weber, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me on today.
I really appreciate your coming on. I have, okay. The first thing I have to ask is, okay, so you went from being a sexologist
right.
to a medium.
Right.
And how the heck does that happen?
You know, the nature of the cosmos, it was a very, very unexpected transition. I went pretty much from kindergarten to PhD nonstop. I come from, you know, family environment where they were like, you know, you want to be a doctor or a lawyer, teacher, something like that. And I had no idea I would be doing this in my life. So it was a big surprise, I've got to say.
Yeah, I bet. I mean, those are pretty different fields there. But do you think there was any kind of anything about your training or your job as a sexologist that actually helped develop your medium abilities? I mean, is there a connection there?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. One of the things that's the most obvious connection is that as a sexologist, I was trained to, listen to people having to talk about sometimes a very challenging part of their lives, right? And as a medium, I often engage in difficult conversations too. You know, people are dealing with passing of a loved one or, you know, reconnecting with that loved one. That can be hard on the heart sometimes, of course. And another thing that I think is a very interesting overlap is that one of the things that really got me interested in becoming a sexologist was that I saw people regard sex as something that was really separate and out there. And there was a very sense that, you know, this wasn't an integrated part of society. You know, it was like we had our jobs and, you know, we brushed our teeth and we had our hobbies and, you know, got up and, you know, take out the cat litter or whatever it is that we need to do, right?
Right, but right.
Sex was like out there. And so I, as a sexologist, I was very interested in integrating that part. Now, as a medium and a psychic, I really enjoy helping people integrate that part of their spirituality. So, again, it just becomes another one of their great facets of life.
Right, right. That actually does explain, their, you know, the connection with the two. Long Island medium. Are you walking when you go to the grocery store? Are you stopping people? Hey, by the way, you have like these people all around you. Are you able to turn it off?
Okay, so let's just talk about television for a little bit because I do get asked this question a lot, and that's understandable because here I am in Queens, Long Island, right today. So we have television, and television is about selling advertising space, right? And as mediums, we have the ability to decide whether or not we're going to use that ability at any given time, right? And what we see on that particular television show is a form of mediumship we would call ambush mediumship. And quite honestly, it's going to sell shows. But as mediums practicing, most of us aren't going to go and do that. First of all, it's not consensual. Those people walking around with their, you know, push carts in the market, they're not looking to be read. They're looking to buy their groceries, right? That's part
exactly.
of it.
Exactly. That's kind of what I always thought.
You know, that's what we've got. And, you know, the person that is on Long Island Medium did have a reputation for being a reputable medium before she was on the show. It's just that for television, mediums can be presented in ways that are not necessarily like real life at all.
Yeah, I've never had an experience. I mean, I definitely do, have some psychic skills myself. And gifts, and I have never ever gone in, and I mean sometimes I'll sense something, you know, like I'll walk into
right.
some place, I'll be able to sense some energy or anything, but I've never had the need to walk up to somebody and be like, oh, I have a message for you. I mean, that's never
right.
happened to me. I don't know how that could happen. But I think people believe it. I think people really do believe that, though. You know,
right.
They believe that it's possible. I want to get to...
If that was done in real life, it would be a boundary issue, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think, yeah. I wouldn't want somebody... I mean, if I'm going grocery shopping, I don't want to necessarily have
have somebody coming up to me telling me that my mom has a message for me, because, like, quite frankly, I just want to buy groceries and go home. And if I want to talk to my mom, I'll call a medium up and I'll be like, you know, can you get in touch with my mom? I mean, I don't know. I think it's a little invasive and, you know, but that's me. So I've got so many callers already on hold. It's crazy. And I want to get to one that I'm not sure if they had a question for, but let me just check this out if you don't mind. Hold on 1 second. Sure. Caller from area code 718. Are you there?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call again.
Sure. Did you have a question for Dr. Ron?
Yes. It's interesting. Because I'm in a similar field to her, and just like loving how everything came together for her. I was just wondering if she could do a short reading for me, maybe energetically and career wise, anything she sees that I would need to know, just for higher purpose and guidance.
What's your first name?
I'm sorry?
What's your first name?
Lisa.
Great name. Great name.
Lisa, I work on the psychic level. I do best when there's a really specific question. So how can you phrase your question that's the most specific for me?
Okay. I'm coming across, like, lately some, I guess when you get more into your purpose, sometimes you see what shouldn't be around you and then what should, I guess, energies and people. Mm-hmm. And I'm dealing with someone that I thought was a confidant and friend, and when they saw me get to a certain level, they started to be different. Some things became revealed. And I guess just moving forward, seeing how to deal with that particular energy, because I'm not someone that prefers to be in conflict or in gossip. I am a direct person, but I just always look for the best ways to diffuse things. So between me and this particular person, a woman, what are you picking up around that would be best to approach moving forward?
Okay. What I'm picking up here is a metaphoric phrase of the tiger not losing its stripes. I'm seeing a person who, for right now, is going to be in a position where she has the opportunity to act this way. And as much as you'd like to command the well-deserved respect from her, I don't see it happening. I just don't see it happening with this person. I feel like what's happening is that although you're coming at it a perspective from, I'd like to say the catchphrase, love and light, I don't feel like you're in the same place. And there's a feeling that I'm getting, which, understand that this person has a personality style where they tend to live vicariously through the actions of others.
Yes.
Yeah, that's all I'm picking up. And again, when we look at things, as you know, from a spiritual or metaphysical framework, we're not looking to play the blame game. We're looking at how two energetic beings are connecting and what's the role in each other's lives. And the phrase that I work with a lot is this concept of dark angels. And I don't actually mean an angel, or do I actually mean dark in skin color or attitude. But the phrase helps to generate this idea that a person or a situation comes into our lives, really presses our buttons. And what might work best is realizing what button is it that she's pressing in you. Is it that you just feel so loving and nurturing that even when somebody is acting like this, you still hold out the greatest hope that they're going to change? Or is it something about you where she perhaps has given herself permission to act in a way that is unconscionable to you? So there's something that I feel like she's lighting up within you that's the point of this connection happening. And I feel like if I sent you home with like 5 minutes of homework, you'd be like, oh, yeah, I know what it is now. And I would go with that from there. I don't feel like you're going to be the person to change her. And I would work on manifesting your boundaries in a stronger way to help you out and finding out what it is that she's pressing your buttons about. And then I feel like you'll be more of a kind of a Teflon surface and her actions aren't going to bug you so much.
Yes, definitely. I feel like I know the button. I was like thinking it was two different things, but overall it's just like the living vicariously and then creating a story where she quote-unquote created me or gave me a skill set, that which is not true. Yeah, because we're in similar fields, and I came in accomplished already, but because the person was around me in a training as a volunteer, they want to create a story that, like, oh, I made her. I'm like, I don't understand what you're going around saying this. It's something that just happened last week, which has really caught me off guard. Like, why are you going around saying that I hired you to be my coach? Because I did not.
Wow.
And it's that serious, which is something I'm like, how, you know, so it's really like the audacity, really like, wow, where did that come from? Like, you know, and the whole living, like, I've a certain level of accomplishment, and a person wants to somehow take credit for it because of whatever's not working in their life. And not even trying to change the person. I mean, my heart, obviously, you can see, would want there to be a shift for her to, like, you know.
Right. Right.
But recognizing that you don't get to go around saying that about me. So I guess I'm trying to find the best way to say that.
I think you just did.
Yeah, but, I mean, my question is to them.
I think we just role played it.
Oh.
You know, and sometimes that's what we need to do, to know that that's, you know, something that we're able to accomplish, to go to this person in a way. You know, you can always Oreo it. You know, the classic counseling advice of, you know, start off with what's wonderful about them, then give them the truth that is maybe a little harder to hear, and then follow up with something that's quite kind. They'll hear it. But you don't need to put them in a defensive position. The other thing I just want to add is this. When you are more secure in your ability to recognize yourself as both a student and a teacher at the same time, I don't think these issues are going to be quite as relevant. It's the audacity that she kind of like one-upped you or tried to.
Yeah. It actually happened more than once in the same night. So, I was very confused by it.
Wow.
Because I really know what you mean by that. And I'm open to being the student, but it's different when you created it's like you're a doctor and then someone said, I wish to deal with your doctor coach, and they never were. That's really the piece of it. It's like, why are you going around making up this story? That's like, because if it was true, it was true, and I'm all for that. And I'm actually a really great supporter of people that are my colleagues. You know, I just felt like it just felt very wrong. And, like, what's there to gain? I mean, I now I know what's there to gain, but I just don't see the point of us not being on the same level.
Right.
That's really what it is. It's like, I don't understand what's the problem with us being on the same level. Even if I am more experienced than you, I'm not going to go around telling people that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually the case, that I am more experienced than her, but I don't, like, we never address it, and I don't need to address it. It's not needed. And I'm saying in a public fashion, to be going around saying it publicly, which I just still am, like, baffles me. Yeah, that's all right. I guess I had to get that off my chest. Sorry.
Not a problem. I'm glad to be of help. It's a pleasure working with you.
I'm glad that you called, and I'm glad that you hung in so long for we've got so many people on the line, and I know we're not going to be able to get to everybody, but I'm going to try and get through some of these people. But I appreciate you calling on and Lisa, because those are, you know, that I think sometimes you do, like you just said, getting it off your chest. I think sometimes we do just need to kind of talk it out. You know what I mean? And when we're talking it out, we're figuring it out, you know, how we're going to handle it. So I hope it helped.
Thank you. I appreciate you taking the time. Ladies, have a wonderful day.
Thank you. You do the same.
Okay.
All right. I've got a caller who's also in our chat room, and I'm going to make sure that she still is wanting to, if she has a question. Mary Lou, are you there?
I'm here. Yay.
Oh, good.
Hi, Mary Lou.
Hi.
I'm glad I saw you in the chat room too. So I'm like, all right, I got to get. I know you've been holding forever. So anyway, do you have a question for Dr. Rao or a comment?
Well, we're doing readings, or
she can do readings, or you can ask her any kind of question about her work.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to go with the reading then. I'm not crazy. I would ask. Normally, I would just ask for any message from spirit, but you said be specific, so I'll ask about my love life.
Ask about your love life. Okay, so the first thing I'm picking up is currently single?
Yes.
Do you want to change that?
Yes.
Okay, that's the first question to pick it up. All right, let's see. The first thing I'm picking up on is the idea of tumbleweeds are an illusion. I think there's an idea that you're carrying around a belief system, a thought process, where there's just like nobody out there. I almost feel like you've been telling this to your friends, like there's nothing out there for me. And the first thing I want to do is I want to challenge that. What I'm seeing very, very strongly, Mary Lou, is a series of relationships in which you got tools to grow, but you didn't get the commitment that you wanted. You understand that?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I want to let you know that when I do readings as a psychic intuitive and when I do readings as a medium, that's, you know, I'm relaying this information, but I still feel compassion for you. And I just want to say, darn, I'm sorry that you've had to go through these kind of relationships, which just feel like, no, that's not it, no, that's not it, no, that's not it. And I feel you a bit worn from that. So that's the first things that I'm picking up on. There's somebody that's been in your life ever since you were a kid. I'm getting a real parallel with that.
Okay.
Understand somebody that's been like, I mean, since you were like a teenager. You understand a relationship like that, ongoing, every now and then?
A male?
Was that?
A male?
Yes.
I have a guy friend that I dated in high school, but we're like brother and sister.
Yeah, I want to tune into him now. He's single now?
No.
Okay. I feel a very strong connection with him. And if it's not actually him because he's not available, I want to look at people that are around his social group. I'm getting a very strong pull to him. And I could take you through the machinations of how I can, you know, figure out it was him because they're paralleling it to a relationship and all that. But the point is I wanted to know where to look. And what I'm getting a real strong sense is two things. One is I'm getting a sense that your next upcoming relationship, I'm feeling, is more of a social situation than, say, like an online situation. And I'm getting the sense of doing better with the familial. I don't know you personally, but what I'm getting from spirit is the idea that you're not the kind of person to go and put yourself out there alone. It's if you were in a social gathering and you had somebody talking to you, that would be far more comfortable with you. You understand that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I want to say get out there and do that. The word setback is also popping up recently, and I'm getting the words emotional setback. Understand that? In life, it doesn't have to be connected to a relationship, but something that was quite hard on the heart.
I'm not sure about that.
All right. The way it's coming up to me is lock the door, keep out, shut. There's a feeling of, you know, almost like being the princess in the castle, in the sense of you're putting out a mixed message that you do want to be with somebody, but something is very much closed off.
Okay.
And I want to say go back and question that a little bit. I'm getting partially the feeling of it being a trust issue because I'm seeing the spirit present with this idea that the rug was pulled out from under you prior. I'm getting the word recently, so I don't feel like I'm going way back in the past. But what I am feeling very strongly is the next person that comes into your life deserves a better chance than the distrust caused by the person before.
Okay.
I don't feel like the person in your past that caused you to lose that trust is the same kind of person you're manifesting now. I'm seeing a book being closed. I'm seeing the lesson being learned. You've moved on. Congratulations. What is keeping you back from being open now? And that's where I would leave you with the homework.
Okay. All right, then.
All right. I feel like there's some inner work to be done before you're ready for this next relationship to go in. I don't feel like you need to concentrate on the trust issue, but I feel like it's almost like you're holding out from somebody to be so different that the energy from the past and the energy from the future are still a little bit too blended to allow for a real fresh start. But once again, just to wrap up, go back to that connection you've had with that brotherly gentleman that you feel. look into his social circle. See if you have overlapping people, people that you haven't met that would fit an ideal partner for you. I think he's key to it. And I wish you all the best.
All right. Thank you.
You're very welcome. My pleasure.
All right. Bye.
Thanks for calling.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Dr. Ron, I have actually the founder of the RightStream Network, Daria, is actually on the line, and I want to bring her on if I can, because she's got I'm pretty sure she has a question, but it's always nice bringing the person who created your network on.
Absolutely, I'd be glad to.
Yeah. So anyway, welcome, Daria. How are you?
I'm great. Hi, Lisa. Hi, Dr. Ron. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely.
You're very welcome. Pleasure to meet you virtually.
Me too.
Did you have a question, Daria?
Yeah, I do. Yes, I do. I'm going to try to phrase it. I always have trouble phrasing my questions for these things. But I guess I just want to say that things feel like, for me professionally and personally now, that they're finally clicking into place. So I guess my question is professionally, just to kind of check in and see if I'm on the right track, if there's any insights that I need. And also with this relationship that I'm in, it feels really good. It feels really strong. But sometimes my own insecurity about not sharing a history with this person that he's already lived kind of, and it's all me, it's not him. So I just wanted to see if there was any insight about that.
Sure. Let me start, if you don't mind, with the first part, the work orientation.
Yes.
Because that's coming up for me more strongly of the two. With regards to the work, a lot of times I'll get information that'll begin to be in pictures, but the pictures translate into plain English. What I'm seeing is a rocket ship hitting a glass ceiling. It's making me feel like you're absolutely right. Everything is taking off. And you're holding on for your dear life, because all of a sudden, if you'll notice, that things are going a lot more quickly than they were in the past. It's like you got on that Gulf Stream, boom, locked and loaded, right into place, right? So I'm feeling great about that, and I want to wish you congratulations. What I'm feeling very strongly, though, is that I don't feel like there's too much time differential between now and the time that you feel like you're hitting a boundary. And what I want to do is I want to encourage you to go back, and I want to encourage you to make a conscious decision to become aware of what kind of limits you put on yourself when you decided to manifest this goal. And you're talking about your last guest on the show, Ken, was talking about manifestation. And what I find is that manifestation is often connected to these human limit ideas that we've got. And so at some point you made a decision to go X far, X distance, X degree of productivity. And what I feel is upcoming, such a sense of hitting a wall. So you go to the place that you've been wanting to go, and then all of a sudden, boom, hit that wall. And what I feel like you need to do personally is to go back, find out what limits you bought into, and recreate that scene. Because there's an artificial limit in place. And when I feel like you do that, that'll take you to the next level too. So I see a lot of success for you, but I see that you need to go back and rethink just how successful you can become, because I think you shortchanged yourself just a wee bit.
Yeah, that's true.
Does that make sense?
Okay. Yes, definitely.
Okay, now let's talk about love life. That's always fun. Okay, so you're in a relationship now with a special person?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and what would be the specific question about that you'd like me to focus on?
Well, it feels like things are finally moving. I guess it's just that, I'm not sure how to phrase this, but, I mean, I totally trust him, and I know that he's genuine and he loves me. It's my own insecurity about the fact that, for example, his daughter just got married this weekend, which is a great thing, but I feel like my own insecurity sometimes about not having lived a life. He's got a history with someone else that I'll never be able to have. You know what I mean? I don't know. And it's not him, it's me. These insecurities come into my mind. And so I just wondered, I guess that's my question. I don't know.
Excuse me. I understand it. Again, going back to this concept of dark angels or people that bring things out in you, if you can change your thinking, I would encourage you to, because I don't see this as a problem. I see this as a gift. Somehow, that former woman that he was with, that's something mm-hmm. that you need to reintegrate into your life or claim for yourself. If you think she is more attractive, more financially savvy, more academically on it, more career successful, more kind or compassionate, whatever it is, that's a part of you that you've othered onto her, and she is mirroring that back to you. So I would say, don't worry if you feel insecure, and don't worry if you feel like you're not living up to it or jealous or whatnot. Use that insight as a gift to reclaim that within yourself. Once you do, and once you reintegrate that part, no issue here. And I think that your partner will feel a sigh of relief too, because I feel like from your partner's point of view, there's never been an issue. They see you as a completely yeah. different person. But you can't see that they can until you take back what's yours.
Yeah.
Make sense?
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Okay.
It's yeah, and I knew it was all me. It was all my thing. Okay, no, that's great.
It's one thing to know it's all you, but it's another thing to figure out how to actually do it. Right?
Yep.
And I like to be
right.
practical.
That's awesome. Thank you.
You're so welcome. Hey, it was a pleasure meeting you and working with you. Thank you.
You too. And thanks so much. And I'll continue to listen on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you, Lisa.
Thanks for coming on, Daria.
Okay. Take care. Bye-bye.
We have more callers, but I just want to ask you a couple of questions because we're getting so many calls. And we will get to some other callers. But tell me what you think is the difference between intuition, being psychic, being a medium, calling yourself an intuitive. Are they just words for the same thing? Now, I've always thought that a medium is different than a psychic. A medium can touch, can communicate with spirit.
Sure, I'd love to address that.
Yeah, absolutely. If you could, that'd be great.
Okay, so I'd like to differentiate between three words: intuitive, psychic, mediumship, right, or medium. I thought this was very, very important to teach the differences of, and so I actually researched these ideas very thoroughly. And what I learned is that we have channels of perception. And the channels of perception we have are both what people often call ordinary, like the ability to see, hear, taste, touch, and smell. And then we have parallel channels of perception on the inside, like our ability to see in our mind's eye, hear in our mind's ear, smell internally, taste internally, just know things, and so much. So those internal channels of perceptions are coined by the French words that begin with the word clair, which begins with clear. It's in English translated to clear. It means clear seeing, clear feeling, clear sensing, etc. And so we each have these channels. The difference between psychic and intuitive is why we think we have these channels. In other words, if we're psychic, we feel that those channels of perception have to do with the idea that there's a soul, a psyche, a spirit, and we often have a spiritual belief system. If we're intuitive, we still can honor those channels of perception and perceive in just the same way, but the rationale we use to explain them can be scientific or logical. Like I say, it's like a part of the human experience. It's a part of the subconscious, facilities we haven't come to know yet. So it's exactly the same thing with two different words. One, the word psychic tends to be highly charged in our society, and then intuitive, not so much. So that's that part. And when we talk about a psychic reading or an intuitive reading, we're opening up those channels of perception to tune in to the energetic body of our client who's in the here and the now. When we talk about mediumship, you're absolutely right. We're talking about something completely different. We're talking about using those same channels of perception to tune into somebody that no longer has a body, or at least a body is the way we understand it. So it's the same skill set, but with a medium, it's a higher and finer variety of the same thing because we're looking to tune into a slightly different vibration, and the techniques we might use to get there are different. And that's why people say all mediums are psychic, but not all psychics are mediums.
I think that's a great way to define them, because I do think that there are differences. I mean, there are very real differences in these things. They're all gifts. I think we all have intuition. I mean, we all have that, and it's just some people can delve in a little deeper and things of that sort. But you're obviously, because you're doing it on the air, do psychic readings.
and I know you don't. You don't do. I mean, medium stuff. I don't like too much to do medium stuff on the air because I always feel like it's so personal, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. It's just I just think that it should be something one on one, and people can make appointments with you online. Your email address is or not email. Your web address is communications in spirit. Yeah. And then you also have www.drronweber.com too. So,
right, same place.
Yeah, it just goes to the same place. But you know, people can make appointments for that online. But what you would talk about something that I haven't really heard of before, called evidential mediumship. What is that?
Sure, it's a word we put through the word mediumship to talk about the idea that. As mediumship comes out of the movement of the spiritualist religion, what we're looking for in mediumship are pieces of information that help to build a case for the continuity of life beyond the grave. And so when we talk about that information, we're talking about evidence. And so when I talk about being an evidential medium, that's to help explain the idea that we're not just looking for grandma with a rolling pin and gray hair. We're looking for the signature, that very specific kind of information that helps make that person stand out from everybody else. And it's interesting because the closer you get to the churches, the more this is emphasized. And the further away you get from it, the more the entertainment or message aspect is emphasized. So I'm more of a purist, if you will. I come from a very scientific, analytical point of view. I want to know, where's the beef, right? And so if I'm working with another medium, I, of course, can't dictate who the medium is going to pick up on or what they're going to say. But when they bring through somebody that I knew and loved and still love in spirit, I want information that is specific to them and only them.
Right. And how do you think, can that get confused easily?
As far as... that versus, say, like a very vague reading?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, among the community, Dr. Lauren Thibodeau, who's also an evidential medium, she coined the phrase clairvagueness, which I just love, because it kind of speaks to the idea that as mediums, we are trained to be able to get a really specific quality of information and many pieces of information during the course of a session with our sitter. And there's really no reason to have a vague session. I mean, certain things that are common in and of themselves doesn't mean they should be withheld from a reading. So when you get a spirit communicator and they say that they're coming through with love and pride and they are so happy to make this communication and they're, you know, without pain. These common messages, common should not be confused with vague. And it's very important that when a person seeks out a medium, that medium is able to convey information that is more specific and not just a general message that doesn't really prove anything. And although we can't actually prove something to, you know, I like to say I give people an experience and they do it with it, what they wish, there's still a point where you've got to say, you know, how does this prove or give credence to or provide evidence for the continuity of life or the continuity of an intelligence beyond the grave?
Right. That makes sense. If you've had a sufficient break here, I've got another caller.
Thank
I've
you.
I've got a few other callers, but I'm gonna take area code 646. What's your first name?
Hi, my name is Christina.
Hi, Christina.
Thanks for calling in. Do you have a question for Dr. Rob?
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I was wondering if I can get some insight regarding my current work situation and how can I turn it into a more positive experience.
Interesting, okay. So let me just tune into you. You know what I'd like to do? I'd like to hear your voice a little bit more. Can you just tell me about how the weather is where you're at right now?
I'm sorry?
Can you just tell me a little bit of how the weather is, like, where you're at right now? I want to tune into your voice a little bit more.
Sure. So I'm currently in Georgia. I just started working at this company. Things are, you know, I've been having some difficulty, you know, feeling integrated into this place. And I've gotten into some, I've ran into some issues with people. And tomorrow, the boss is going to talk to me about sort of my future at the company. And so I was just wondering, like, what do you see with regards to that? And how can I, you know, if there's still a chance for me to turn this into a positive experience, how can I, you know, I want to be successful at whatever I do. And I don't want to give up just yet.
Understood. What's really coming up for me is that somewhere when you join this group, the expectations were not clearly articulated, and I'm sorry that that happened. I feel like if I had been coming in as their employee, I just wouldn't have known what they expected of me in a very clear way. And those benchmarks that are common with employers, and especially employers that employ like a large number of people, that's mm-hmm. absent. And so I feel like there's almost a passive-aggressive style of management happening where you're at, that what you may learn tomorrow is information that I would have preferred you had quite some time ago. So what I want to say is you can take it in a constructive way. They're going to propose things to you to act differently. That's what I'm feeling. Or to at least explain that what they had expected is not what's being returned to them. And again, I'm not putting this in a judgmental point of view. I'm just putting it in the sense of there's what I'm picking up on is a very strong lack of communication. I feel like you're in a place where people are like old guard. And I'm feeling like there's very, very few, if any, new people. And they're very integrated and they're very woven in with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a bad thing. It's just the way the company's been. And I don't feel like there's much rocking of the boat here. I also feel like there are security issues in place. I don't feel like your firm actually concerns the idea of security, but that's certainly coming up. Do you understand that this is a place where more than usual there would need to be discretion on the job?
Yeah, I think they're going to talk to me about this because I feel like I was acting as a whistleblower when I shouldn't have done that. But I thought that I was doing the right thing by pointing things out to them to make sure that they, you know, we're all on the same page. But the culture here is, you know, you make a wave and you're the troublemaker. And I think that's, you know, so yes, you're right. The miscommunications and also the lack of, you know, setting forth expectations in the new employees. I'm just, you know, not meeting their expectations. They're not meeting my expectations. So I guess, you know, the biggest question is, I hope that they will still give me a second chance. And if so, how can I, you know, turn this into a more positive experience or that it's sort of like done deal that I will forever be viewed as the black sheep in the company?
Couple of things here. One is that I would encourage you to look at yourself in the position of whistleblower and see if you feel more comfortable with that than working for this company. Because I'm getting a real sense this is a company where things happen more so. I want to the phrase like backroom deals or backroom trades or something like that is more common in this line of work where you're at. I feel like things
definitely
under the rug, right? And so it reminds me of like being a child and playing like games like Risk or Diplomacy, where you know you'd go off into the corner and you talk to your friends and you come back to the table and you know you try to figure things out. And I'm not feeling like your nature is the best fit for this particular company, although it's the work that you excel at. So that's part of the issue. You know, can you find a place to do this work at the skills level, at the skill set that you're capable of, but one that is inclusive rather than exclusive? Because what I feel very strongly with them is not only do they have an issue in maintaining the corporate culture, but I feel that they have a very strong interest in maintaining this insularity. You know, that's it. And as an outsider that came in without an understanding of that and nobody filling you in on that, I think the question is how to get into that inner circle, and can you live with it if you're there? Because honestly, I feel like this is a situation in which they're going to ask you to compromise your ethics, and I don't know that you're going to live with that.
Right. I feel like just for job security, and also, you know, because I do see there's, you know, some rewards to be gained by staying at this company. I mean, there's still the prize at the end of this this journey. So I will do whatever it takes to sort of fit into the culture better. Because I don't see this as a, you know, forever job for me, but it definitely is a springboard for going to a better place.
Understood. And, you know, it wouldn't hurt you to have the conversations with people while you're there. You know, like if I heard X and Y left, which company did they go to, you know, where you don't have to make that so much forward, but at least know that when people did leave that firm, you know, where did they find a better life? Because you may be following in their footsteps.
They don't have a good track records in that, you know, people moving on to good places. But I don't want to be a victim. Like, I feel like, you know, if I am, you know, if I work smarter and I play the game better, I can still, you know, turn this into a positive force for me, because I don't want to be jumping from job to job to job. I mean, I'm here. Who cares if it's not the greatest job in the world with the greatest, you know, package? But I'm going to turn it into the best that I can turn it into.
That's wonderful. So, and, you know, it's like the perceptions mean everything, right?
Yeah.
Right.
So so you don't see them, you know, firing me tomorrow, right? They will probably just give me a warning, kind of.
I am feeling that you're going to have to convince them otherwise if you want to hold on to your position. I feel like you need to go in there and have a case prepared. That's what I'm feeling like, because I feel like they're just, I feel like they're willing to put it on the line. And what I feel like is, from where they're coming at it, I don't feel like they are open to changing their corporate culture.
And I don't expect them to change. I just hope that they will just give me a second chance. And second time around, I'm not going to raise any waves. That would be my game plan.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I wish you all the best with that. And for whatever sense that you were a whistleblower of your own conscience, congratulations for honoring that, you know, internal ethics that sometimes can be, you know, squashed in corporate America. So you stuck with yourself, you stuck with your heart, because at the end of the day, that's what you're left with, you know.
I see. All right. Thank you.
You're very welcome. My pleasure. Thank you for allowing
me
to work with you.
Good luck with everything. Good luck.
Bye.
Bye. Sometimes doing the readings, you know, you want to tell everybody great news, but sometimes there's not always great news. And I was getting the same kind of thing you were getting from.
I was going to ask her, yeah.
Yeah, I was getting the same thing. And I was like, when she, you know, asked at the end, exactly, you know, what is this going to happen? You're like, you know, because she is going to have to really make a case for herself. I totally agree with that. So. All right, we have about 5 minutes left, so I want to give you plenty of time to tell everyone how they can get in touch with you, what you do for them, you know, what you can do, how they can book appointments with you. You're very popular in the New York area. I know, considered one of the best psychics around in your area. So there's lots of positive stuff about you on Twitter, which, by the way, do you have a Twitter account?
You know, I haven't looked up Twitter in quite some time. The amount of social media is amazing. I'll have to give that a look up. Mostly more on my website.
If you go onto Twitter and you put your name in, you're mentioned as being, you know, so awesome and all this stuff. But when I tried to follow you, I couldn't find you. So I was like, okay, well, she doesn't even know that she's this awesome. On
That's really wonderful news. Thank you.
Yeah,
you made my day.
Yeah.
I'll have to look that up.
It was
in the Twitterverse.
It's one of the most – it's taking over the world. What can we do, you know?
Wow.
With Facebook, now it's Twitter. So what do you
want
to
ask about contact information? Why are we glad to give you
– how can everybody get in touch with you? And,
okay.
And what do you do for them?
Sure. Okay, well, let's just talk about two ways that I work. I work, as you've seen, as I've been on your show – as a psychic intuitive, and then separately from that, I work as a medium. And I market these as two completely different services. With psychic work, what I prefer is that my client comes to me for a half hour or hour, brings as specific questions as possible, and we'll work at them with psychic insight one at a time over the time period allotted, and that can be over the phone, by Skype, or in person. I have an office in Lower Manhattan, in the Wall Street area. So that's one option. The other option is mediumship work, where we're dedicating a whole hour to looking at the people that are coming to visit them from the world of spirit. And my guarantee with that work is that they'll be able to recognize at least one person clearly. Sometimes we get one person talking for an hour. Sometimes we get, you know, a whole party going, especially if they're Italian Catholics. And I joke around about that, but it's kind of funny. But around this area in particular, that community does tend to be something I pick up on very strongly. And I'm not from that background. It's just interesting. Anyway, that's open to everybody. And what's really important to know is that mediums are opening up the door to spirit. We're seeing who's there. And it's mostly a listening experience. So it's a very much a sense of reunion, joy, love. It's everything but scary or spooky. People do come in with some high energy sometimes, but that's just because, you know, we can all feel what's about to happen. And sometimes the information as it comes through is just awesome. So both of these experiences are just a regular conversational style. And then again, for the mediumship, about an hour. What I also do is I work with groups. I do local house calls, and then I do demonstrations. And I have two demonstrations coming up. One is with two coworkers in Manhattan at the Edgar Cayce Center on October 17th at 7 p.m. And then the other one is I'm really delighted to say I'll be in Vegas on November 1st at the Family Music Center Theater there on Sahara, and that'll be a night of mediumship. So I do these gallery demonstrations, you know. They can be sometimes up to like hundreds of people, and they're very exciting because it's something where the whole group of people can get involved and see just how unique and different one mediumship experience can be from another. And it's a great opportunity for some of those real characters on the other side to come through, make their presence known, and have everybody really engage in a feeling of celebration and reunion. So that's some of the activities. As far as reaching me, I'm at communicationsinspirit.com, which can also be accessed with my name, Dr. Rom Weber, R-O-M, it's short for Ramika, Weber.com. By phone, give me a call in my office at 510-496-3496. That's 510-496-3496. I'm on Facebook at Dr. Rom Weber Spiritual Medium. That's with 1B. And on, let's see, email, drromweber@gmail.com.
Excellent. Excellent. I really encourage everybody to take a look at Dr. Rom's website. It's a great site. It's got some great information on it. And like I said, you've got a really good reputation, and that's not easy to do in this business. So
wonderful.
So congratulations on that. I really appreciate you being on the show. It was really
my
great.
Pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you for doing all those readings. We didn't get to everyone, of course, but anyone who's still holding that wanted to talk to Dr. Rom, go on her website, schedule appointment. She is in New York, so she's on the Eastern time zone, and her phone number is 510-496-3496. But visit communicationsinspirit.com or Dr. Rom. R-O-M, Weber, W-E-B-E-R, .com, and make an appointment. And that way she can tell you anything you want to know, and you don't have to have the whole world hear it. So,
Well said.
Again for
thank
being
you
on
so
the
much
show.
For having
really
me aboard. It's been my pleasure.
Thank you. All right, everyone, that wraps up another Just Believe, another episode of Just Believe Radio episode. Anyway, so it was a great show. I really appreciate both guests, Ken Elliott and Dr. Rom Weber, for being on the show. Everyone, don't forget to check out my webpage at www.lisatarves.com, L-I-S-A-T-A-R-V-E-S. I am going to be publishing a new version of my website coming up here, and, well, God willing, this week, having a few technical difficulties.
But you'll find on my website, you'll find links to Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and everywhere else that I'm on social media-wise. And you'll find links to my book, Just Believe, and where you can purchase Just Believe. So until next week, everyone, have a fantastic week coming up, and find some joy, and stay happy. I'll talk to you all next week. Bye-bye.